Hi, I'm Webster Ford. I am the host of Nerdinary, a place where we look into nerdy things in life and make them part of ordinary daily life. As we dive into each nerdy topic, we'll encourage you to take time to find out what makes you nerdy and to make it a more ordinary thing. You know what? I'll encourage you to make it Nerdinary. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to Nerdinary. It is episode 2 of season 2. Overall, if you're keeping track at home, it's episode 54. Today, we are nerding out about Valentine's Day. Now, Valentine's Day, as a hopeless romantic, you would think that Valentine's Day is one of my favorite holidays. And I tell you, it's not. I, as a hopeless romantic, don't really feel the need to like have a special day because I like to be romantic on any random day. And I like to just do it that way, right? But I also love the notion of love and celebrating love and all of that fun stuff, right? And I love the stuff behind Valentine's Day. In today's episode, we are nerding out about the stuff, about the history of Valentine's Day, and kind of really how Valentine's Day has gotten to where it is as one of these fantastically, as most holidays have become, commercialized holidays. So when I first think of Valentine's Day, of course, as a born and raised Catholic, I think of Saint Valentine. Now, this is really kind of how everything started, right? Valentine's Day is also the patron saint of the patron day of Saint Valentine, right? And really, here's the weird thing is Valentine's Day, like, it didn't get like a really great romantic start. In fact, the day in and of itself is celebrated because it's when a boatload of people, including St. Valentine, were martyred, right? Back in 270, the year 270, the Roman Empire started to persecute Christians at the time and Catholics at the time. And these were people that were openly Christian, openly Catholic, you know, proclaiming the good word as they were, right? And they were martyred. And bing, bang, bong, they died. Right? And so, like, it's actually, like, kind of the opposite of the romantic side of everything, right? How everything really got started was because of people dying for their faith. Like, it is, in a sense, a romantic notion, but when we think of the romantic love that is celebrated on Valentine's Day, it is quite the opposite of the way that it got its relatively humble beginnings? I don't know if that's the right word, but in any case, the history of it is a very bloody history, a very violent history, and really, it didn't become a thing. So, I love doing like dorky show prep because I didn't know a whole lot about Valentine's Day, so I went and Googled the hell out of this, just like anybody else could. But I just kind of latched onto some things, and as I Googled it, right, and I found out some information. So, really, we didn't get romantic with Valentine's Day until the 1400s. We want to thank a whole bunch of British literarians. And the first one, of course, was Chaucer. Now, Chaucer, of course, was the author of the Canterbury Tales. Now, he noted that a lot of English birds in the early spring, like February, went off for their mating time, right? So he started to call those lovebirds. And those lovebirds did things in and around Valentine's Day. So our romantic notions of Valentine's Day started to go a little bit more that way because of birds getting it on and making babies, as it were. So talk about a way to move, right? Now, we get into even more like February notions, a lot more different types of literary relations to Valentine's Day and Valentine's and romantic love, right? And I talked about Chaucer. I can't not talk about the Bard, right? Good old Bill Shakespeare. William Shakespeare in Hamlet, right? Ophelia actually coined herself as Hamlet's Valentine. And when she meant Valentine, she meant like his lovebird, right? And again, going back to Chaucer's notions of lovebirds making babies, right? And we move into like the 15th century, right? And the 15th century was really when things started to move. So 15th century, that's the 1400s, right? And so that was where the romantic part came in a little bit. But then also good old Cadbury family, they were known for making chocolates, still are, right? But they utilize this whole notion of love as an option to try to start making candy in different shapes, like heart shapes, and putting them in heart-shaped containers. And God bless the Canterburys, right? Because now it has lent into this million-dollar, billion-dollar enterprise that comes full of great chocolates filled with different types of other chocolatey things or creams or stuff like that. And of course, a bunch of, as so many different things called it, smarmy poetry. And I love the smarmy poetry. I love, you know, roses are red, violets are blue, blah, 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 I love you type of thing. You know, and really, that lent in from the 19th century. So we went from 14th and 15th century literary notions to the 1800s, where Cadbury finally started to make all of this chocolate and a whole lot more dough, right? And so the history of Valentine's Day, it got some weird starts, right? But then, of course, we ended up moving towards what we know it now today, where we look at all of the chocolate, all the gifts, all the things, all the cheese, all of the fantastic lovey-dovey things. And I love it. I'm here for it. I am all behind it. But I know that some people, when they think about Valentine's Day, they kind of do the fingers to the throat thing, right? It can make people kind of feel gross because maybe they're not with somebody romantically, or they don't ever have any reason to do that or any desire to be romantically involved with anybody. But if you are romantically involved with somebody, of course, now the release date of this particular episode is after Valentine's Day, right? But it's still, you know, within that time, and let's get a little bit nerdy about it. Valentine's Day. So this year, Valentine's Day in 2024 actually also happens to be on the day that Lent starts. It's on Ash Wednesday. So a lot of people that do that type of celebrating, as far as Lenten celebrating, are either going to celebrate Valentine's Day the day before or maybe the day after, or since it's in the middle of the week, a lot of folks who have that middle of the week stuff, they do their Valentine's Day celebrating the weekend before or the weekend after. And that's exactly kind of time-wise where we're sitting right now with Valentine's Day, is as far as a release date, we're just after the weekend after Valentine's Day. Now, when I think of Valentine's Day, I also think of Cupid, and I think of some of the cool things that have happened in my life because of Valentine's Day and on Valentine's Day. And I'll talk about Cupid and some of the fun, dorky little things that have happened on Valentine's Day right after this break.
Now it's commercial time.
Okay, so it's been a little bit that you've already been listening, right? Take a break and get a drink of water.
Okay, nerds, welcome back to the show.
Welcome back to Nerdinary, episode 2 of season 2 here. Overall, episode 54, we are nerding out about Valentine's Day. Thank you so much for listening today. And as we're nerding out about it, the first segment was all about like the history of Valentine's Day. And it's kind of weird to think that Valentine's Day started with like a bloody beginning and has now such a romantically rooted holiday and celebrated holiday. It's my mother-in-law's absolute favorite holiday. It's kind of fun because we actually get like Valentine's Day gifts. Like all of us in my immediate family, right? All four of the kids, my wife and I, we all get like little gift bags with nifty gifties of Valentine-y related things. It's actually really cute. And it's made my daughter absolutely fall in love with Valentine's Day, so that when she was at school, it was dressed like your favorite holiday. It was all hearts. It was super freaking cute, right? But in any case, I move into this segment talking about, of course, the figurehead, maybe is the best way to say it, right? The figurehead of Valentine's Day, Cupid. So Cupid, this cute little cherub that, you know, shoots its arrow, or as Michael Scott would say, shot its sparrow on people, right? But Cupid shoots its love arrow at an interested lover from the direction of the hopeful lover, right? Now, Cupid wasn't always this fat little cherub, right? Cupid was actually, it had Greek overtones. Like, it was Eros, right? Eros was the son of Aphrodite. Eros, of course, the Greek god of love, right? And so still having love base and love foundations, right? But didn't start out as this little cherub. But of course, as marketing moved along, they went from the Greek god of love to just this beautiful little cherub, usually a naked-butted little cherub, right? And shooting arrows at people to make them fall in love, or at least, you know, have all a Twitter patter, as it were, or whatever the official phrases are, right? But Cupid, I love people who use Cupid as that source of that figurehead of love, because really, it gives like a physicality to it, right? An actual representation of love, or at least finding love or searching for love or anything like that. And I say, again, I'm here for it, right? And I see people who have like little Cupid tattoos. Go for it. I will never get a Cupid tattoo, but I will applaud you if you get one, right? I just got a couple of tattoos, as it were, and I'm looking forward to already more, but none of them will ever be Cupid. I can say that with a good amount of certainty. Now, before I start to talk about like some of the cool shit that has happened or the over-the-top things that I've done in and around and revolving around Valentine's Day, I think of the city of Verona in Italy. Now, Verona, now in the first segment, I talked about Bill Shakespeare, right? Now, good old Bill, good old William Shakespeare, the bard, right? Tons and tons of plays and poems and great literature that has been brought forth from his very brain. But of course, when I mention Shakespeare and Verona in the same breath, of course, I'm thinking of and talking about Romeo and Juliet. Every single year. Now, this was one of the coolest things that I found out. Get this, right? Every single year, thousands of letters are sent to the city of Verona, addressed to Juliet. There's a literary club in the town of Verona that awards prizes to the most touching letter written to Juliet. And they win the award called the Cara Giulietta, which of course is literally Dear Juliet. That's what it is in Italian, right? And so like a fictional tale of two teenage star-crossed lovers has gone the breadth of time, you know, 600-700 years since it was written, and it's still being celebrated and being honored as a story of love. Now, don't get me started on how much I actually kind of don't think that Romeo and Juliet is much of a love story. It's more of like an infatuation story and maybe more of like a lust story. That's a different thing, but like really, like it's still the notion of love, even if it's in its most immature senses and immature forms, right? It is still celebrated. It's so cool. And then they post these now. Of course, now you can see them on the internet. You, as you're listening, now, of course, we're after Valentine's Day this year, but you can start planning for Valentine's Day next year. Write a letter to Juliet, right? Or, you know, write a letter to your Juliet and then just change the names and send it into Verona, Italy, right? You could definitely do that. That would be a really cool way to add nerdy foundations to something that is really sometimes intangible. And that's what I love so much about love, right? Is that you can't touch love, right? It's not in your hands, right? It's things that you can show, that you can feel, that you can have in your life, and things that you can make be present, right? And in various ways. I have a whole episode about I Love You that was back about 6-7 months ago. Go page back through if you haven't listened to it. If you already have, listen to it again. It was kind of a fun one, right? You know, but Valentine's Day takes that intangible and makes it a little more tangible because you're doing stuff, you're doing things, you're possibly providing gifts, right? Or providing actions or stuff like that to show love to the one that you are likely romantically involved with, or at least hope to be, right? And speaking of that, I want to talk to you about overshooting your shot, right? And I overshot my shot big time. The first year that my wife and I were together, so we started dating at the beginning of January. So Valentine's Day was only 6 weeks into our fledgling relationship at the time, right? But I fall hard, I fall fast. I'd already fallen head over heels in love with her, and I wanted to blow the roof off, right? I wanted to take everything and ramp it up 7,000 notches. At that point, this was 2014. And the hit song All of Me by John Legend was, well, it was a hit at that point. It had just been released at the beginning of that school year in 2013, or right around there anyway. And I listened to it. I liked it. It was cute, right? I loved the notion of it when it first came out. I wasn't in any relationship. Nothing was happening. I was like, man, whew, if I get the chance, I'm going to sing this to a girl. And sure as hell, of course I did, right? That was one of the big things that I did. So what I did, like I said, I wanted to blow the whole damn roof off of everything. I didn't do a day. I didn't give gifts on Valentine's Day. I did gifts every single day of the whole week, the whole damn week. The Monday of the week was Monday, the 10th of February. And then it led up to the Friday, which was Friday, the 14th. Valentine's Day was a Friday that year. And what I did is every day it was a little bit of a build, right? So the first day I brought her some cookies. The next day I had some flowers and I brought them to her classroom, which it was kind of cute, right? Because we worked in the same school and over by lunch break or something, I jetted off to the closest Walmart, got some flowers in her favorite color. Now I got them in yellow because those are her favorite color. Now, of course, yellow is the color for friendship. And I knew that. I wasn't trying to lay a friendship base. By this time, we'd already been dating. I'd already fallen head over heels for her, right? But it was more that the notion that I know that this is your favorite color. So I was taking that step as opposed to going, these are flowers because we're friends, right? So that day, I brought them into her classroom. And one of her students, because of course, I would spend time in her classroom basically anytime I got the chance to. One of her students said, wow, he must really like us. And then he stopped and he said, or he really likes you. And he was, of course, talking to my wife. And we still laugh about that little mini story to this day. Of course, these kids that I'm talking about, those first graders are now soon to be seniors in high school, right? But now thinking about it, that was the Tuesday. The Wednesday, so this week led up to it. Now, everybody in the school knew that we were together, right? Everybody knew that this was really cute and really fresh and really new and all that. But they also knew my personality, that I fall hard, I fall fast, and I want to show as much as I can in the ways that I can. I had a very low-paying teaching job, so it was kind of scraping by on what I could do on a very minimal budget, right? So what I did the next day, so leading up to that, one of the teachers was like a jewelry consultant, like one of those, you know, independent sales people, and she sold jewelry. And she had stuff in the teacher's lounge. I was like, hey, not to sound cheap, but where's like your budget shit? And she, you know, showed me some earrings that were like $7. And she's like, oh, Christy would love these, blah, blah, blah. And I went, hell yeah, let's go. You don't have to sell me any farther. Where do I sign? Right. So the next day I got her some jewelry. Then Thursday was some other small gifts. And then Friday was, of course, Valentine's Day in and of itself. I had a whole gift box of fun little nifty gifties, a poem. And then I also sang to her. So I sang, I was working on this for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe even long, you know, a good chunk of time where I started to memorize and learn All of Me by John Legend. And then I found a karaoke version of it on my phone and I played the karaoke version and I sang to her, right? And it was awesome. She was weepy. She thought it was great. She still didn't say I love you to me. That was still another, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks until later, right? But I laid the base, I laid the foundation, and I overshot my shot, right? Because at that point now, that's our first year together, right? And talk about laying out the expectations for the next year. Like, thankfully, she knew that I was like trying to like really woo, really court, really try to get to her. And I was doing this without any expectation of anything back, right? And that is when you know that love is love. That's when you know that you're doing it for the right reasons. You're not doing it so that somebody can do this something back to you or give something to you or give something up to you, if you know what I'm saying, right? But like, it was more that like I knew that she deserved to be showed value and showed love, and that's what I did. And then she also got me a big Valentine's Day box of stuff too. Hers was more like practical and cute. Like in that box there was a thing of Nutella. There was a bacon bowl. Like she went right after my heart, right? She went for food and things that I absolutely love, and it worked, right? And then we went out to a dinner that I asked her to pay for because she was making way more money than me, right? And it was awesome, and it was the greatest way to start things. And again, thankfully, she wasn't expecting me to shoot that shot as big as I did anymore, right? I still do. I don't give a whole week worth of Valentine's anymore, but I definitely do make things happen because I love doing that, right? And in nerding out about Valentine's Day, I turn to you, and maybe you think of Valentine's Day as something puke worthy. And on a commercialist standpoint, I'm with you, right? They have bastardized some of the love notions. They've tried to play on people's heartstrings and everything. So like, I get it, and I'm behind you if you're there, right? If you're nerding out of it and you're just wanting to give a double barrel middle finger to the notion of Valentine's Day, go for it. But if you are a hopeless romantic and a dope like me, go for it, right? You know, plan the things, sing the songs, buy the flowers, right? And do the things. Make it count, make it matter, right? Because that's all that you need to do, right? And however you are nerdy, right? And when you think of celebrating this holiday, if you are one who does celebrate St. Valentine's Day, then do it. Or Valentine's Day, then do it. If you are not, then don't, right? That's the joy of being your own freaking nerd, is when you're going through and figuring those things out, you do it as to you do, right? The whole you do you, babe, right? And when I nerd out about Valentine's Day, I encourage you to do the same. And I think of all the other Valentine's Days that I've had with my wife, or even like the dorky ones, right, with my high school girlfriend, or, you know, even just things that I've done with like those dorky Valentine's cards that you get and that we buy them for our kids and we send them off to the schools and God bless the teachers, right? And I'm so grateful that like we're at places that we can still celebrate that stuff, because of course we do need to be mindful of other people who don't celebrate the holiday within big public spaces like schools, right? But we're at a private school, so we can have a little bit of that civil liberty, right? Now, the other thing when I really kind of go into Valentine's Day is the things that happen or have happened because of Valentine's Day. And that's a really weird tease to keep you on to the other end of the break, but that's all I'm going to tell you. On the other end of the break, I'm going to talk about other stuff that's happened because of Valentine's Day. And I'll do that right after this break.
Okay, nerds, it's commercial time.
You're in Town, the musical opens on February 22nd in Ramsey, Minnesota. Go take a look and check it out at northernstars.org for tickets. Again, go to northernstars.org to get tickets for any one of the upcoming performances.
Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Nerdinary. Again, episode 2, season 2. Hot dang. It's so, like, when I say that out loud, it's still really, really cool, right? And we're nerding out today about Valentine's Day. And leading into this break, I talked about that there are other things that happen because of Valentine's Day. And really, there's really only one big thing besides just the huge boom of flowers and cards and all that business as far as an economic boom, not just in the United States. It is a worldwide holiday, right? You know, but then I think of something that started in a sense because of Valentine's Day, and it got a whole lot more pull and a whole lot more publicity because of the TV show Parks and Recreation. And of course, I'm talking about Galentine's Day. Now, Galentine's Day is more female identifying based, right? Where, because Gal and Galentine's, they rhyme, right? Leslie Knope took all of her gal friends out on February 13th, right? To celebrate the power of their sisterhood, their womanly womanhood, and their womanly friendships, right? And guys don't really have that, and I'm okay with that because I can just do it anyway, right? You know, but like that is one of the biggest things that came out of Valentine's Day, or there's like Singles Awareness Day, some people call it, right? You never know how single you are until you're on a holiday that celebrates people being together, right? And a lot of that is just taking single folks and doing something with a other group of singles, right? I have never honestly celebrated that, just because Valentine's Day has come, especially for these last 10 years, I've had somebody. So, you know, but like, if you are also a Galentine's Day celebrator, like, more power to you, and I'm so behind you in the things that you do to celebrate that as well, in all things feminism and in female and woman growth and woman and female acceptance and female power. Oh, it's so cool. You know, and I mentioned like the big boom, the economic boom of those few industries that feel the big pull, right? Right, flowers and chocolates and things like that. So as I'm wrapping up this episode, I want to talk about like the 5 most popular gifts that people give or get or expect on Valentine's Day. So the first one, and I mentioned this, and it's first one with a bullet, right, is flowers and candy. That is almost kind of an underlying base expectation or a gift that's given on almost any and every Valentine's Day by almost every and every Valentine, right? The next one is to cook a big meal or to go out for a big meal, right? A lot of times you'll see fancy places get bigger reservations. There was an episode of The Office where Dwight, like, he called ahead to all the restaurants around in Scranton and got all the reservations for February 14th, and he was able to like use that as another economic boom, right? You know, so now other things that happen are like a treasure hunt or like some type of scavenger hunt to get to the gift at hand or the romantic notion that's going to be given, right? Or the fun, you know, night happening, right? Now, The next thing that is one of the more popular gifts or things to do is a couples activity. Now, get your freaking mind out of the gutter, right? I'm not talking that couples activity. I'm talking like a couples activity. Go on, do a thing, right? Do an axe throwing thing, or, you know, go to like a couples painting night or something fun like that, right? And make a full cool experience with your Valentine. Now, the fifth most popular gift is to make your own card. I'm behind that so much. All due respect to Hallmark and whomever the hell else makes cards. I don't even know. I'm not well averse into card making, but make your own card. It's cute. I like it. I can draw. I also, you know, help with my kids making cards, right? Because they like to draw hearts. Or once you figure out a heart, you can draw a heart almost any time and all the time, right? So in any case, those are the five most popular gifts, and of course, leading the way is flowers and candy. I will give flowers and candy, but I like to give flowers and candy, again, on a day that isn't Valentine's Day. I will still do it on Valentine's Day, don't get me wrong, but like, I love the notion of surprise. I love the notion of just doing it just because, or doing it after like a big thing, like something that happened that expended a lot of energy, right? Whether it was getting through a big project, doing something in the house, realizing that it's been 6 weeks since I bought flowers, right? Whatever it might be, whatever the reason might be, I don't ever need one, right? So those are the gifts that are most often thought of. But I turn to you, what do you give, or what would you like to get on a Valentine's Day? Or are you just the person that says, yeah, it's another day, let's go and do the thing, right? It's all going to probably depend on where you are at the stage of a romantic relationship in which you're in, if you're in one, right? And if you're listening and you're not in one, that's fine. You could be your own freaking Valentine. Like, there are a lot of things that can happen for you with yourself as a Valentine. And you can take that in whatever way you need to and you want to. That's going to be our episode this week. Episode 2 of season 2, nerding out about Valentine's Day. Again, I thank you so much for listening. Make sure to tune in next week. Next week, I will be on with a guest. I will be having a meteorologist help me nerd out about weather and meteorology. It's going to be a really fun episode, and it's going to be a hearkening back to my old radio days, because it's going to be a meteorologist by the name of Mandy, who I did a lot of on-air radio broadcasting weather forecasts together as well. So that's going to be a fun episode that's going to be coming up next week. This episode was pretty fun, right? If you like it, go ahead and put it in your group chats. Share it around when you're at the grocery store, at the library, or anywhere else. Share it with your teachers. If you are a student listening to this, when you probably should be listening to your teacher right now anyway, and anywhere else that sharing can happen. I hope you have a great day today. Hope you have a great week this week. Go take your nerd and be it.
Nerdinary is produced, recorded, owned, and everything else by Webster Ford. Our theme music is Toonie by Liberty. For any questions, guest requests, or topic suggestions, find Web on Instagram at Nerdinary Podcast. If you like Nerdinary, please leave a bajillion star review on your podcasting platform. Tell your friends, tell your mama, and tell the stranger you encounter every day. Thanks for listening, and be kind to everyone.